Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Thursday, May 17th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. We're off to just a slightly late start today. It was completely my fault. I wasn't here. I was off on another location, and I was racing to get back here like, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. But I made it. It was okay.
I forgive you, and oh, I think everyone else does too.
Oh, I appreciate that. Like you wouldn't believe, I really appreciate that. So that's how I am. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Nothing specific is popping up for me, but I will say I'm noticing the boredom that I am having in the place that I'm wanting to exit from.
Really? Oh, wow.
Sheer boredom. Yeah, like been there, did that. And for the first time in 11 years, it seems as though there's not enough to keep me occupied.
Wow.
That's never happened. That has never happened. So if that's not a sign that that door is like shriveling up and dying on the vine.
I should say. Wow. That's amazing. Well, either that or it shows just how good of a job you do. You're so organized that you're sitting back and twiddling your thumbs.
Pretty much. Everything in my inbox is because I'm waiting on somebody to do something, you know, and I'm like, come on, let's get moving. I want to do something.
That's really funny. That is funny. But yeah, I think it is a sign in a sense that you are ready for bigger and better things. And since they're already happening, that's a good thing. But yeah.
Well, and ironically, I want to say it was last week, and I can't remember if I said it on the show to you, to my friends, who knows who I say what to anymore. But I remember using the metaphor that I'll know when the door is closing on my day job because it'll just shrivel up and die. And I was using that metaphor quite often. I talked about it probably 5, 6, 7 times. I'll know because it'll just shrivel up and die. I won't have to make a big decision like, oh, it's all so exciting. And oh my God, now I have to decide to leave. It's like the leaving will be such a natural knowing because everything will dry up for me. It just won't be, I won't want to be there anymore. And oh my God, is that happening?
Once again, proof positive, the law of attraction really does bring to us the essence of what we've been thinking about. You've been thinking about it, boom, there it is.
It does. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I don't want to say I'm in a state of doubt with what I'm about to introduce, but I do have a curiosity and a question.
Okay.
And I don't know that it's one that can be answered. It's not rhetorical, but it's one that I've thrown out to the universe, and I'm having an expectation that an answer will be forthcoming.
Okay.
Which is, so, okay, here I am. I know where my future is going. I feel very aligned to it. I have like zero zip-diddy-doo-dah doubt or concern or worry at all that we're moving in that direction. And I have been in this state of no doubt, worry, or concern for a number of weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had new clients pop in, which has been extremely exciting for me. I've had just great value in the time that I've spent with my new clients. I know that they've gotten a lot from our time together, but I've equally gotten a lot from it. And it's caused me to start to ask new and bigger questions. So it's like I see things are moving in the right direction. And as I had my conversation with my friend Rhonda the other day, we were talking about how coaching is one income stream for me. And I know about maybe three others, but the door hasn't really opened for them to like really pop yet. So I guess my question is kind of like, so the clients that I currently have are not enough to replace my income at my day job.
Mm-hmm.
So and I don't even have the inclination. It's time to say quit, because one of my big requests of the universe, probably going back 5, 6 years ago, was that when I exit the day job, it will not be at the peril of my finances.
It'll be seamless.
Because that's what I did multiple times in my youth. I would just go, oh, I'm ready to go. I'm so ready to go to somewhere else. Boom, I'd quit. And while I was spooling up the new thing, my finances fell apart,
mm-hmm.
You know, sure. And I was on the brink of being kicked out of apartments and losing my car and things like that. And this time I said, you know, as a deliberate creator, I can create a seamless transition.
You can. Yeah.
where not only were the were would there not be any dip in my finances, but it's all uphill. Like the moment I leave, the income just skyrockets. So it's like, I totally know that that's also how I'll know it's time to exit the other thing, because the new thing will just be producing so much income, it will be like an absolute no-brainer. But in this space that I'm at now, I guess there's this feeling of, what do I do? What should I be doing? What's the appropriate thing to do? And that's really my question that I'm putting out to the universe, you know, because I don't know how long it's going to take before we go to the new thing completely. And I'll be honest with you, I've never had much success in getting the universe to give me timing. I don't know if other people have ever had that, but anybody I've talked to has never told me that, like, they get great information when it comes to timing.
Mm.
Now, if you have a specific deadline, that's a different thing. Like, if you don't have your rent money by XYZ, you'll be evicted. Well, somehow the law of attraction manages to pull in the money before the eviction actually occurs.
Right.
But in cases like this, I don't know. And so I feel a little starved for doing something that feels meaningful, because my day job's not providing that anymore. It's so rote. It's so boring because I've done it a million times. I've trained a gazillion of other people to do it. You know, it's like, duh, I know how to do this. So I'm kind of starved for a good challenge, something fun.
Well, actually, it's not terribly surprising to me, to be perfectly honest. And the reason it's not surprising is you just described how in the past, whenever you transitioned from one job to the next, from one career path to the next, you usually did it on the sink or swim method, where basically you cut it off the
cut
old one,
me.
You dove in a new one, yeah, and then, you know, come what may. And this time you insisted, no, it's got to be a seamless transition. You've never been through that before. And so here you are in the middle of it, and you don't know what to do with it because you've never been there before.
I don't know what to do with it, and I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Not surprising at all that you're experiencing that. Now, what answers are you going to get? I have no idea. You're the answer woman. I mean, you get much more answers than I ever get for myself. So I'll just have to sit back like everybody else does and just wait to find out what the answers are. But I do know it's not surprising that you're going through this because it's a brand new experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting here like bouncing my leg. Not that I never do that, but I can tell it's coming from a place of, what's the word? There's just a lack of something fun and challenging to sink my teeth into.
I call that a nervous energy. It's where I'm ready to do something. I'm not sure what to do.
Exactly. And, you know, taking what little I have to do right now for my day job and stretching it is like torturous. I actually do better doing it fast and then come to a wall of there's nothing to do. Because then when there's nothing to do, I will go find something to do. But if I stretch out what I have to do, my eyelids start fluttering and I start getting sleepy because I don't move in slow motion. My body only knows one motion. Go. And go fast. Because that's what feels so exciting to me, is to move at a fast pace. So anything less is just boring.
Well, I have a question then, and I don't even know how to phrase this properly, so you'll have to kind of interpret it from what words I can come up with. But
alrighty.
Why not come up with something? I mean, right now you're waiting for the next big part of the career path to open up and complete that transition for you. While you're waiting, is there something else you've always wanted to do that you can start doing now for a bit?
Well, I'd say the answer is yes. But I'll also say the reason I haven't done it, because I have many things on my mind I want to do. As long as I'm working in my day job, I feel responsible to be there. And, you know, I'm an executive admin. And
right.
What does that mean? That means when people ask me questions, I answer them.
You're right there.
When they're looking for direction, I provide it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the need to sit behind my computer.
Sure.
So even if I don't have any big projects to be doing, at least when they pop in, I'm there. And so because of that, there is enough to keep me occupied throughout the day that even though it comes in dribbles and drabs, there's enough to keep me occupied that it doesn't feel comfortable for me to just say, I'm going to open up a personal project. I could do it behind my desk and just really sink my teeth into it, because I have such a work ethic that the job that is paying me gets my first amount of attention.
Sure.
That if I start working on something at my desk and I see something at my computer from my job requiring my attention, I'll jump back into it. And so the stop and start on the personal stuff just won't go anywhere. That'll become very frustrating.
Well, then can it be something that's enjoyable instead of a project, just something to enjoy? So, because if you cut off something that you enjoy, it's not like, oh God, I just broke my concentration. You're just sitting back and enjoying it. It's like an entertainment or something.
Nothing that feels right to do.
No?
I mean, I have lots of things I can do. They can even be, I have some small projects that can be done. But again, if I'm interrupted, it just won't feel good. I mean, I like, my work style is called block time. So if I'm doing a project, I block a number of hours to do it. Even if I'm in my day job, if I'm going to work on some big project, then I just stay committed to that project. And even though I have other stuff, other people wanting to get my attention, I will block them out for 2 hours. But I won't do that if the project is my own personal project. I won't block out my coworkers. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm trying to think what works within that work style. And I understand what you mean by it. It's actually a very effective way and a very efficient way to work. But when you would have a main task going on and there's not a whole lot to hold your attention there, then it kind of drags along slowly. And I think that's what you're experiencing. Is it possible to tie in just like a basic practice, like an LOA practice, I'll call it, something to get yourself into the good frame of mind and enjoy being in the good frame of mind, you know, something meditative, something, I don't know, just something that doesn't require a lot of attention?
The truth is, I'm saying I'm bored, but I really am in a good place all day long.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not in an upset place. I'm just aware that I'm not revved and excited because I've got my teeth just going into something fun.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of bored because there's nothing big and exciting to do.
I'm just thinking that something like some sort of little meditative process to do. I call it meditative for lack of a better word. I don't actually mean necessarily sitting down and that kind of thing. I mean, just some process to do. Just, you know, okay, I've got like 5 minutes of downtime here. I'm waiting for the next thing to show up on my radar. I think I'll just do a little LOA practice of some kind.
Yeah, 5 minutes of something is not my speed. When I do something, I do it for an hour. When I do it for 2 hours. I don't do many things for just 5 minutes. Now, I can squeeze 5 minutes into something, but a process like what you're talking about, I can't see that happening. And I'm not trying to be a naysayer, and I'm not trying to like poo-poo your suggestions. It's just none of what you've suggested sounds at all inviting to me.
Well, I've run out of ideas. I can't help you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to suggest.
I wasn't looking necessarily for you to answer it. I'm just
I try.
The universe. You know, you did. I thank you for that. I'm really looking for the universe to either tell me what's up, what's next, is it on its way, and or what do I do now? What's a way to look at this time that I'm in while things are shriveling up and dying? You know, what's a new way to look at it, you know, that will feel more energizing to me?
Well, obviously, as one thing is shriveling up and dying, another thing is opening and expanding and growing.
Yes, and I'm not seeing it. And until I see it, I can't really put my attention on it. Well, I can, but it's hard for me to put my attention on something that I don't know what it is.
And yet that's the essence of it, isn't it? I mean, that's right, the Wayne now, Dyer likely. Message. The Wayne Dyer message is, when you believe it, you'll see it. That's what we're trying to practice. We're trying to practice, you know, learning how to believe it before we see it, even though we don't see it. I agree.
Well,
that's not easy to do.
I don't want to say that I'm not believing it, because I believe it.
Yeah.
I'm just a doer, and I want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something. So I don't know what to do. Because I've got my attention focused in the right place. I'm excited about what's coming down the pike. I'm excited about I have a client tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's great.
and this may sound weird, but it's like, I don't get totally excited really, really until it's happening. I'm a in the moment, be present with it kind of gal. I don't know.
I mean, something to practice is all I can think. It's just something to practice is all I can think. But, you know, hey, you got to get the answers from inside. You got to follow what your own guidance.
Well, when you said something to practice, I don't know what to practice.
Maybe it's practicing figuring out what to practice.
That's why I asked the question.
Well, now that we've come completely full circle.
Exactly. We've wound that puppy up. It's running around in circles.
Because I have nowhere else to go with it, I'm going to remind people that if you are not yet a subscriber to LOA Today, we want to encourage you to do that. Most of our listeners are subscribers. We know, we can tell from the way the numbers work, you know, how many people, how many episodes they're listened to and how long they're listened to and how what the unique number of listeners are. We can tell people are subscribed. Average listener is listening to 30 to 45 episodes a month, so they're definitely subscribed. But we are getting new people all the time, and if you are one of the newbies, we would love you to be a subscriber too. It's really easy to do. You just go to the homepage at loatoday.net. All the instructions are right there. You'll also find instructions on how to share it too. So once you do your subscribe, you can share with your friends, hey, I just subscribed to LOA Today. You ought to consider doing the same thing. And you will also find there, that's where we have the little player for the live broadcast of when we're doing these podcasts. So if you're on loatoday.net right now as we're doing the show, you're hearing us live right through that little player there. And you'll also find instructions in case the mood ever strikes you and you want to call in and say, hi, how you doing? And, you know, we love having you do that. We actually had that, Wendy, a couple days ago. Cindy's time slot on Tuesday morning, we got a call from one of the authors of the book. Anne Marie, who lives in Middletown, Connecticut, called in. It was great. So we love having people call in. So all that's right there on the homepage. You can't miss it. And we hope that you will subscribe and share.
Cool. And you know what the cool thing is while you were talking, I went internal and I started asking some questions. I said, what is it I'm really looking for? You know, because Walt's suggesting a bunch of strategies, and my internal response was, I don't need a strategy. I need a thought. I went, oh, what's that about? And then what came to me, because here I know I'm saying I'm looking for something to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally understand by based on I want something to do, you would suggest things to do.
Funnily enough.
However, what I'm looking for is a new thought or perspective or viewpoint. Because when I have that, all the to-dos fall in place.
This is true.
And so that's like make a decision and line up with it. Well, I'm not lining like all, you named all these different things to do, and they're all totally valid in their own right, but I'm not lined up with any of those.
Right.
Because the thought comes first. The decision comes first. So I'm looking for, and this is kind of my process. I love to go for new perceptions. You know, what is my inner being thinking about where I'm at right now in the process? And when I get that kind of insight, all the to-dos just kind of take care of themselves.
So do you have a new thought yet?
No, but that was a new piece of insight.
Okay, well, that's half of it.
That's part of the manifestation.
There it
is. So I totally accept that as, okay, well, that's why the strategies weren't feeling copacetic to me.
Makes sense.
You know, even though each one in itself was a totally appropriate strategy, but one of the things I've really trained myself is I no longer jump to strategy until I have the thoughts lined up. And when I have the thoughts lined up, the strategies become almost automatic. I don't even have to think of them. They're just there.
And one thing I can tell listeners is you want to listen to the end of the show, or if you don't hear it today, you want to tune in tomorrow, because during one of those two time periods, Wendy's going to come to us and say, you know, I had this thought that came to me.
I so appreciate to the level that you have paid attention to who I am and what my process looks like. Because sometimes I don't even know what it looks like until I hear you mirror it back.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that is what I do.
It's the pattern. It's not like I have to work hard for that pattern either. That one's pretty much in my face. I just know that one real well.
That's so cool. Well, I'm curious about what we're going to read today. I wonder if this is going to be part of what I'm looking for.
That could very well be. I mean, our success rate in terms of the connection between what we read from these books and from what we're compared to what we're talking about is like a 90 to 95% connection rate. So I would not be at all surprised if it connects. So let's find out. We are, of course, looking at the Law of Attraction, The Basics of the Teachings of Abraham by Esther and Jerry Hicks. We've been working on it for quite some time. We're up to part four, and we're on a subsection that's entitled, Rather Than Monitor Thoughts, I'll Feel Feelings. Well, it could be connected. We'll see. So it says, monitoring your thoughts is not an easy thing to do, for while you are monitoring your thoughts, you are not having time to think them. Yeah. And so rather than monitoring your thoughts, we are going to offer to you an alternative, an effective alternative. There are very few who understand that while you are a physical being focused through this physical apparatus, that simultaneously there is a part of you, a broader, wiser, and certainly an older part of you, that exists at the same time. And that part of you, we refer to it as your inner being, communicates with you. The communication takes many different forms. It may come in the form of clear, vivid thought, even an audible spoken word at times. But in all cases, it comes to you in the form of emotion. In italics, it says, you set forth before you emerged an agreement that communication with your inner being would exist. And it was agreed that it would be a feeling, one that could not be missed, rather than a stimulation of thought or an offering of words that could be missed. For as you are thinking your thoughts, you might not always receive a different thought that is being offered in that same moment. Just as when you are thinking or deep in thought, you sometimes do not hear what someone who is standing in the same room with you is saying to you. And so the process of feeling as in emotion is a very good process for communication. There are two emotions. One feels good, one feels bad. And it was agreed that the feeling that feels good would be offered when you are thinking, speaking, or doing that which is in harmony with what you want. While it was agreed that a feeling that feels bad would be offered when you are speaking, thinking, or acting in a direction that is not in harmony with your intentions. So it is not necessary for you to monitor your thoughts. Simply be sensitive to the way you are feeling. And anytime you feel negative emotion, recognize that you are, in the moment of that feeling, miscreating. In the moment of that negative feeling, you are thinking a thought of something you do not want, thereby attracting the essence of it into your experience. Creation is the process of attraction. When you think a thought, you attract the subject of your thought. Okay, so there's the section. I have to ask you, does that connect? Mm-hmm. Because I can't connect it. And I think the reason I can't connect it is we haven't been able to really isolate it in verbal terms exactly what it is that this thought is that you're reaching for. So you're the only one who knows. So Wendy, you're going to have to let us in. Did that connect?
I had a question as you were reading at the very end of that.
Okay.
Where I was asking myself, so when I said I felt bored, that's not on the horrible side of good or bad.
No.
But it's definitely not on the good side. And so I'm wondering if the internal dialogue that I'm using with myself while I'm, sitting behind my computer doing my day job is what has actually created the boredom to the extent that it has.
How so?
Well, because like what I'm thinking of just now, what popped in is as an alternative, if I were doing something and I didn't like it, I could say, well, this is a good sign. The fact that I'm not liking what I'm doing is definitely saying that, this job is shriveling up right before my eyes. That would actually make me feel good if I said it that way.
That's funny.
But, what I have been doing is like, oh my God, kill me now. This is driving me crazy. I'm so ready for this to be done. Well, that's what I've been focusing on, and that doesn't feel good at all.
No, it doesn't.
So if I turn the parts that I'm not enjoying into things that can be pleasant for me, that could change how I'm feeling. I mean, I can still say I've done this 100 times and I don't want to keep doing this, But I could say, and while I've said that, that's just a reminder of letting me know that it's absolutely another sign that I'm moving forward, because I know I love things that are stimulating and I love things that are new and I love things that are challenging. And the fact that this is not it is another really awesome sign that things are moving in the direction that I want them to.
Okay, so how do we tie that together? Because I'm not quite sure what to do with that.
Tie it together with what? With what we just read?
Well, with what we just read, and how do we tie it together in a way that turns it into, I don't know, an answer to your initial inquiry?
Well, while you were reading, you know, what you read was all about how we knew when we came into physical form that we would have our inner being communicating with us through our feelings. And so as you were reading, I went, oh, that's right. So, hey, inner being, what is it you're thinking about that I'm not, because you're feeling good and I'm not?
Ah, good question.
And so that's where I was getting how I'm looking at or how I'm choosing to interpret my experiences at my job in a more negative way. That's not how my inner being is looking at it. I believe my inner being is looking at it like, look at this. You're not feeling challenged. You know that you've done this a million times. You already know you've improved upon this process to such an extent, it's ready to hand it off to someone else. That's a wonderful sign that that all systems are go. Things are moving in the right direction for you. Things are lined up as they should be. Because if I was still holding on to things I wanted to keep doing at work, it'd be really hard to leave.
Well, that's a good insight.
But I've done quite a brilliant job at finding ways to let go of things that I was holding on to for dear life. And I've gotten really good at saying, you know, to my coworker, hey, would you like to do this? You know, to give her an opportunity to do it while I'm still here and while I can still supervise. And she'll say, yeah, let me do it. And in the past, oh my God, I didn't want to ask her to do anything because I wanted to do it all. Because I like it. I own this stuff. It's mine. I get good accolades for it. And I knew that if I wanted to leave, I had to let go. So I can look at this in terms of I've done a really good job of letting go. That is actually why I have so much less of physical work to do, because I'm letting go to the person who needs to be doing it to learn how to do it well.
In other words, you've let go of being Super Wendy, who solves all issues and leaps tall buildings in a single bound.
Okay, I'm not giving up the title of supervisor, but I am willing to say I am now the supervising Super Wendy.
Oh, okay.
Who will allow others to do things so that they can become good at what they're doing and feel, you know, a level of confidence so that when I leave, they're not going, you know.
Well, you could also you could empower them to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You could be going for planets, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's what I want to do. I mean, it really is my heart's desire to not leave anybody feeling, you know, like they're going to freak out because I'm gone. I want them to feel like they're ready and they know they're capable because I have, you know, set them up for success.
Which is a good thing.
Like, I know you said that you used to watch MASH, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's one scene where, you know, Radar is he takes care of everything. And the reason he has the nickname Radar is because he knows when choppers are coming in with wounded before anybody can even hear it. He just had a sixth sense to know.
Right.
And, you know, he took care of all sorts of things behind the scenes and nobody could figure out how he could manage all the things he did in this war-torn environment.
Right.
But finally, it was his turn to go home. He was getting released from the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And they were planning this big birthday, or not birthday, this big celebration to, you know, send him off.
Bon voyage.
And just at the point they're about to start celebrating, choppers start coming in.
Right.
And there's tons of wounded in the camp. And all the doctors and nurses are hands-on triaging the patients. And there's another chopper that's come in to take Radar away.
Right.
And now it's kind of like, well, so much for the big celebration. He just has to say goodbye as he's walking past all these doctors and nurses. And each one that means something to him, he looks at them and they have like time for three words, you know? And then he leaves. And that had such a emotional connection for me, because what it said was he left everybody in good hands, because he did train he trained Klinger
right.
to take care of things when he was gone.
Yep.
He left everybody in good hands, and the camp was going to go on, and they were going to still do good work, and they could do it without him. And while he was standing there about to get on his own chopper to leave, it's like I felt the feelings for him of this is a bittersweet goodbye. It's like I wanted things to be able to be smooth, but at the same time, I don't want them to miss me. And at the same time, I don't want them to have a hardship with me being gone. And that's kind of how I feel about every job that I've ever left. I want them to kind of feel a little bit of the sting that I'm gone. But at the same time, I don't want my job to be in such a disaster that anybody that has to take it up after me, you know, like all they can do is curse at me because of the how I left it. I want it to be so seamless that it's as though I was never there. And yet, how can it not be as though I was there? I'm the one who set up all the systems. So anyway, I guess that's where I kind of feel I'm moving towards that moment where Radar leaves, because I almost feel as though everybody's doing their thing and they're not popping in to ask me many questions anymore. And they don't even know I'm going.
Yeah, right.
That's the And yet energetically, they can't not know, even if they don't consciously know.
Yeah.
Because I've been sending out the vibration for months that I'm gone. I'm out of here. It's time for me to move on. And I know nobody will begrudge me my exit, because I have given many years of really, you know, exceptional service. And I don't know anybody who wouldn't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is kind of the emotional...
You mentioned Radar. You mentioned Radar as he was saying goodbye through the window, because everybody had been called into triage and into surgery and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I believe the last one he looked at was Hawkeye. And they say their goodbyes with a nod and so forth. And then
right.
you have a picture of the camera focusing in on Radar, and he's standing there and he's looking, and then he just gives a nod and walks off. Like, mm-hmm. okay, this is it. I know this is the time to leave. I'm done. He drew the final curtain right there with that nod. By the way, I have to tell you also, Louise and I like to joke, particularly when we first met. She told me that she had dinner with me for years.
Really?
Yes, because she thinks that I look like Alan Alda.
Oh, okay.
So she had her dinner watching MASH.
That's a nice compliment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're going to be picked to look like an actor, Alan Alda, I think he's a great guy. So, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. You want to say I look like Alan Alda? That's fine with me.
So anyway, you know, it's like, where is all this? Well, I will tell you, as I was talking about the Radar story, I feel pretty emotional about that.
Mm.
Now, I'm curious, am I feeling emotional because when I think about that, I think about Radar, or is it really about me?
Oh, probably more about you and your situation, because you see a strong parallel there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's probably more about me. So who knows? Maybe I was needing to kind of like release that this is closer than I know. I mean, because honestly, Walt, you know, part of me, because I don't have an exit date, I really sense there's going to be something specific that takes place that lets me go, wow, it's time to go. And it feels as though it's going to be sudden. And so I think maybe that's why I'm getting the opportunity to now, if you will, to feel the feelings, grieve the what's a natural closure. Because when it's time, I'm going to move so fast into the new that I won't have much time to say goodbye in a more comfortable way. But while I was talking, the word sudden, it's like when I said that, I went, wow, I didn't know I was going to say that. And that I resonate to that. That feels right. It's going to be sudden.
You know what you're describing? You're describing waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Okay.
Because the cliche means, you know, one shoe is dropped and you know there's going to be something that follows it. And you're just waiting for it to happen. Well, the shoe that has already dropped is you've already started to draw in this new business model for yourself. It's already mm-hmm. starting to happen. The mm-hmm. other shoe that you're waiting to drop is, like you say, is this event, whatever it is, this sudden event that happens that caused you to leave the current job. You're waiting for the shoe to drop.
Right. I mean, like when you called me and we talked about me co-hosting the show, that to me was sudden. One day I was not a podcast co-host and one day I was.
It was pretty quick.
I mean, it happened so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You called me. I mean, you emailed me on a Sunday. I talked to you on Sunday. I said, when are you ready to do this? And you went, tomorrow, which was a little too quick for me. And I said, well, on Tuesday, can we just play and do a trial and then start the following Monday? And you went, okay. But like,
was
you
I really
ready
like
to
that?
Start the next day.
You make it sound like I was disappointed or something. That's great.
So, I mean, that was like, that to me is sudden. That was like a sudden shift to my lifestyle. We've been doing this now for 6 months. I take off an hour every day during my day job to do this show. It has shifted my energy. It has shifted what's possible. It has definitely been a precursor to my business model moving in new directions, but it came sudden.
Mm.
It's came true. Sudden. And the only pre-warning, if you will, that I had was that for a number of months, I felt led to go to the local Abraham Hicks workshop that was going to be done here in Dallas. And I wasn't sensing I was going there to get a specific question answered, but I was going there specifically to have my whole energy raised, because whatever was coming, I needed a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And during one of the breaks, Abraham has two breaks during their 3-hour thing.
Right.
One of the breaks, I was sitting talking to my friend Clarissa. The rest of our friends got up to go get water, but she and I sat there for a while, and I was just talking about what Abraham had talked about during that first segment,
mm-hmm.
totally not expecting what was about to come. I was just going, oh, yeah, and wasn't it interesting? And I just started chatting what the topic was and the words that they said, and all of a sudden I got a new awareness, and it let me know where I had been holding resistance that I had not been aware of before. And something broke for me where I saw my situation, and it had to do with changing my career, where I saw where I had been holding myself to limitation because I was not willing to see things beyond a certain way. And it felt like I wasn't willing to do things different. I just felt I was in a default thought. I felt like it had to happen a certain way. And all of a sudden in that moment, I just started crying as I felt the release. And I was like, oh my God, there are so many possibilities. And I was holding the universe to, it could only be this way or this way. And I'm like, I'm letting go of that. It could come any which direction it wants to.
Which is a great,
what I knew,
that's a great breakthrough right there, just by itself.
Oh, it was huge.
Yeah.
But I knew several months in advance, I was going to get some kind of vibrational shift that was going to rock something big in my life. I knew that several months in advance, but I didn't know what it was. And so that event happened on a Saturday. I go out to lunch with my Fab Four girlfriends afterwards. And we're just all chatting. And the three of them, like even after lunch, are texting. We have this group text. And they're saying, oh, my God, I feel so different. Oh, my God, this has shifted. Oh, I see the world differently. And I'm going, huh, what did I miss out on? Because I didn't have anything. I had a knowing. But I didn't have any new feelings. I mean, other than the breakthrough, which was significant, but I couldn't really jump into the conversation with them. And yet that night I went, something has changed. That's what I know. Something big has changed and something big is about to pop in. And when I woke up the next morning, you had sent me an email at 7 a.m. my time.
It's pretty wild.
Which I didn't wake up until 10. But when I looked at it, I went, oh, my God. oh my God. Oh my God. Like I knew that this was significant. And then I went, okay, take a chill pill. You don't know if this is anything of value. And so I just started asking my guidance, you know, like, what do I do with this email? And I heard, listen to one of his podcasts. Okay. So I went and pulled up your, you know, loatoday.net. And I went, which one do I listen to? And I don't even remember now which one. And I just clicked on one. I listened to the whole thing. I think it was you and Joel, mm-hmm. or you and David. I don't remember which.
It would have been one of the
you
two.
You and a man.
Yep.
Oh, and it could have only been those two, right?
Right, yeah. Because I hadn't done one with my brother in about 2.5-3 years. So, yeah.
It was either Joel or David.
Right.
And after that, I went, yeah, I like this. I like his style. I like how this goes. And then the next piece of guidance was Colin. And I'm like, okay, well, it's a Sunday. He won't be there. And you answered the phone.
Surprise.
But it was sudden. I mean, to me, that was a sudden change in
that
my life.
That is pretty quick, I have to say.
Yeah. And yet, I had several months of precursor of knowing this, that going to the Abraham Hicks thing was essential for what was about to come. And I went, I had an experience, and then you and I connected the next day. So I'm talking about this now, and I'm checking in with my inner being, and what I'm sensing is the reason I'm talking about this is because the same energy of suddenness of how you emailing me and offering me an opportunity to work with you and be a co-host was a sudden change, and it changed everything for me.
Mm.
And so the next something I'm waiting on is a sudden change. Now, I'll tell you, remember I said probably about 30 minutes ago what I was looking for was a new viewpoint, a new way of looking at things, a new perspective, because mm-hmm. I start with a thought,
yeah.
then the actions fill themselves in.
Right.
That thought that it's coming sudden, but it's on its way, that's the thought I was looking for.
Oh,
that's
really?
An exciting thought to me.
Oh, nice.
Now, it's like I was focusing on I want to do something, but I don't even care about that anymore. I just wanted something that was challenging and exciting to my thoughts. Because feeling bored, I was not only bored with what I was doing, I was bored in my thinking too. I needed a fun, challenging thought to just kind of like re-energize me. And right now, I got to tell you, the thought of it's going to pop in and it's going to be another sudden something that's going to rock my world.
That's a good thought for you. That's cool. It, you know, as you were telling that story, too, about how we connected last November, one of the things that came into my mind during that story was something that I have thought about occasionally, kind of like circumspect, not really giving it deep thought. But I have thought about it, and that is we often, actually I would say almost always, don't know when something we're doing is helping to manifest somebody else's creation. And there was an example of it right there. You were in the middle of a creation, and I helped manifest it, and I didn't know I was doing that. I was working on my own creation. I had no idea what was going on with you.
And that's why we are all co-creators.
We're co-creators, yeah. Yeah. And neither one of us knew that we were doing that. I mean, I was hoping, I was very much hoping that I would find people like you and Cindy and Tom to come on board and help me expand the schedule, which is exactly what happened. But that was the extent of it. I didn't really know how that was going to work. Boy, was I talk about mm-hmm. things happening suddenly. I mean, all three of you came on board within a day. That was really quick. So, yeah.
Yeah, I could kind of tell from the conversation you and I had, because I was the first one that called you back.
Right, yeah.
I could tell, one, you were surprised that I called so quickly.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And two, you were surprised once you got all three of us on board that we came on board so quickly.
And I loved it. I loved it a lot because I wanted it that badly. I mean, I was really you talk about having a hunger for the change in your job situation. I had a hunger mm-hmm. at that point to expand the podcast in a big way, because up until that point with Joel and then with David, I'd been doing it as a weekly podcast, and I wanted to do it daily. In fact, I didn't even realize it at the time. I wanted to do it twice daily. It wasn't until after I talked to the three of you that I said, you know what, let's do it twice daily. I think it's actually a better thing. Can I do that? Do I have enough time to do that in a day? Oh, boy, I would really like to do that. And so what was once a week went to 11 times a week in one jump. That was a pretty big jump.
That's sudden.
It is, yeah. But I still come back to, I was helping to fulfill your creation and I didn't know it. I wonder how often that happens throughout the course of our days. Probably a lot more than we realize.
I agree. I was just taking a moment to just kind of think on that and let that sink in.
Yeah.
Because it's a really, really cool concept to realize how we contribute to each other when we don't even know it. I didn't even know who you were. Didn't even know who I was.
Didn't have a clue. You were a picture on a webpage. That's all I knew.
And yet, that's the beauty of the law of attraction.
Mm.
Because that is what I would consider a law of attraction orchestrated connection. Because I can even say that I think it was 2 months before you contacted me, probably around the same time I was getting the hit to go to the Abraham workshop, that I don't even remember what I was searching. I was searching for something law of attraction online, just kind of like doing my own personal research, you know, for business purposes. And I stumbled across loacoaches.com.
Right.
And I looked and I went, what is this? Well, first of all, there's a ton of awesome information about the law of attraction. So I'll just say that for listeners.
Oh, yeah.
If you're interested in learning some stuff, loacoaches.com.
loacoaches.com
has got so much awesome information. And I really got lost in all of it. And at first I thought, ooh, I want to take this and paraphrase it and put it on mine. And then I went, oh no, I don't even want to do that because this is just, they put it together so beautifully. And then I'm clicking on all the different pages. And then one of the pages I stumbled upon was just a list of all these different LOA coaches, which was an eye opener to me because I didn't know there were that many law of attraction coaches. I thought I was one of a few.
Surprise.
And I was really shocked. I'm like, oh my God, there's like 50 on this page. This is unreal. And then the thought came to me, see if you can get in here. I went, oh, okay. And so I go scrolling around and I find the lady who put it together. And I just sent her an email and I said, I really love your site. I'm an LOA coach. You know, is there any way I could get listed on this page? And I mean, like, she immediately responded. She said, yes, just give me a little bit of biography about you and your picture. And I'm like, oh, my God, that was the easiest thing to request.
Right.
And so I think it took her a couple of weeks, and she finally had me on there. And then what really amazed me is, like I said, there's like 50 different people. She had me as, like, number 5. How I got put up there, I don't know. I don't think it's in alphabetical order.
Nope.
Because Cindy Chavez comes after me. And
yep.
Alphabetically, she should come before me, regardless if you go first name or last name. And then, so I didn't get any hits from that. I didn't have any clients, you know, contact me. You were the first person that contacted me with me being listed on that site.
And it was significant that you were near the top because that's what I was doing. I was just working through. I didn't know what coaches I wanted. I mean, just because you see a bio doesn't really tell you a whole lot necessarily. So I figured all I want to do is make some contacts and see who gets back to me. And I'll know through the conversation whether it's somebody I really want. And I think I sent like 7 or 8 of them out. And all of a sudden I heard from you. And then shortly after that, I heard from Tom and Cindy. I thought, well, shoot, I'm done. Because I had all the people I needed. I only went through 7 or 8. So it's,
and ironically, me, Cindy, and Tom are all like next to each other.
You're all right next to each other. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So clearly the law of attraction moved you into the right place so that I could connect to you.
And I think Jeanette or Janine, I apologize if she's listening to, you know, what her name is, but it's like how she chose to put me where she chose to put me. I can only say for whatever reason that there might have been a logical reason, I believe that was her being guided to put me there.
Mm.
And you were guided to do what you did.
Yep.
And I was guided to get on there to begin with. I was guided to do whatever the heck search I was doing that day so I could land there. There are so many orchestrations being done on every one of our behalfs that sometimes we don't know about days, months, years, or ever.
Oh, yeah.
But needless to say, it's being done continually. Things are orchestrated for us continually. There are no accidents. We call things in by our desire. We call things in by our focus. But so sometimes it, the timing is adjusted as to when we get out of our own way and let law of attraction finally do what law of attraction knows how to do really well. Because let's just for fun call what I'm about to happen, be called my big break. Mm-hmm. Could the big break for me have happened 5 years ago? Probably.
Sure.
But I wasn't focused then. I had a lot of resistance. I was very fixed in what I thought was possible and how things had to show up.
Well, you and me both, because 5 years ago, I was in my first year of doing the podcast, and I was in a lot of resistance. So even if this possibility had come up, there was no way I was ready to be prepared to go out and, you know, take the steps.
But whenever we're prepared, the universe has connections for us. So if, let's say, one of us was prepared 5 years ago, you and I probably wouldn't be doing this podcast today, but you would have somebody else who was ready to be
right.
connected with
you. Exactly. Yep.
You know, because I know, like, some people talk about there being one perfect soulmate, and I think we could carry that conversation into a much broader scope.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe there's one perfect anything for anybody in any situation. It's whenever we get lined up and are ready. And what equals ready? Having our beliefs support the thing we desire. And where there's no more resistance preventing us from having the desire show up in our life.
I think there's also a flaw in the word perfect, a perfect soulmate, because in truth, they're all perfect. I mean, we are all beings. Perfect beings. We are all created from source energy. We are source energy. That, by definition, makes us perfect.
Well, I think when I'm talking about soulmates, how I've heard it is they talk about there being one soulmate.
Right. Yeah, and that's where I think the flaw is.
And I can see that's because that's the perfect one. But, you know, I like to say that my first husband, and I've only been married once, was the perfect mm-hmm. first husband for me.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think it's true.
Yeah, I mean, however we matched, and I know some specifics about what characteristics and what energies we had that aligned us and made us a match at that time, we didn't continue to grow in the same way so that we continued to be a match. But I could totally see why we were a match to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, throughout our marriage, there were many things that were positive and many things that were negative. But every time we experienced a negative thing, it shot off huge rockets of desire for what mm-hmm. each one of us really preferred.
Right.
And what we really preferred was what the other one was not.
Right.
And it wasn't because I was an unwilling participant and he was an unwilling participant. We both knew what really meant had meaning for us. And he was never going to become the person that really would really just be everything for me. And I was never going to be that for him either.
Mm-hmm.
We really were looking for two very different things.
And that's where I think the flaw is in this idea of a perfect soulmate, a perfect mate, because mm-hmm. part and parcel of that idea, as most people mean it, is that you and Paul were not perfect for each other. And clearly you were. Basically, they're saying if the marriage doesn't turn out to be the ideal marriage, then it wasn't the perfect soulmate. And that's just not true. Because you did, look how much growth you went through because of that relationship.
I'm so appreciative for the relationship that he and I had together. So appreciative.
Yeah.
And I love him and I adore him. And he's so meaningful to me. We're just not good marriage partners today. We were once, mm-hmm. but we're not today.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. I actually think people who are looking for the, quote, perfect soulmate, where there's only one of them, are doing a disservice to the other people that they meet in their lives. Because those other people are playing a tremendously important role in their lives. And they're saying, nope, long as it didn't come out right, as long as it didn't come out exactly the way I had in mind, then they weren't perfect. Baloney.
Yeah. Well, and... I'm going to approach a conversation with you that might feel vulnerable right here in the middle of
okay.
our show.
Well, you'll have to do it in about 2.5 minutes because we don't have a lot of time left, so we'll have to keep it condensed.
I know. Well, I had the thought the other day that with all these things going on with my career, what if my career moves in a direction that I won't be able to do the podcast anymore?
No, no, no.
That's what I said. It was a slightly vulnerable thing. And then I went, oh, well, that means that Walt will find somebody that's totally appropriate to fill in for me.
Of course.
Or either permanent or temporary, or things might change. Yep. And that's okay. And neither one of us have to be married to being co-hosts for the rest of our lives.
No.
We just signed on to like do it. And it was like, it feels good while we're doing it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? And so, I don't know. I personally tend to, I've had a habit of tending to get married to whatever is in front of me and I say yes to. It tends to feel like, and it's now forever. And then I have a hard time when I say, oh, now I feel like I have to break my commitment. Well, you know what? The truth is, when you live a life of deliberate creation, there will always be movement.
Yes.
And the movement will always be for everybody's highest and best good.
Yep. Exactly right.
So it's all good. I hope I didn't shock you with
that. No, not at all. To the contrary, I think you made a great point. I think the okay. point is, it doesn't really matter. I mean, yes, I love doing the show with you. I love you. I love that we have this terrific bond that we have on the program and so forth. And you know what? If it were to stop tomorrow and you were to go off in one direction and I went off in another direction, we would still, both of us, connect up with the right people for whatever that next stage is in our lives mm-hmm. is, and it would still work perfectly. And it does. That says nothing at all about, you know, it doesn't in any way disrespect the relationship we've got right now.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't in any way, you know, undermine anything that we've done up until this point. It just, it's the next step. It's the next stage. It's the next place that we move to. And that's great. That's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing.
And what we're talking about right now really is an example of living a life of deliberate creation.
It is, yes.
Where we create, but we don't stop creating. We are creators. We do it continually. And what we create today will be changed tomorrow. And then we'll create something different, because nothing is meant to be stagnant. Because when you're stagnant, you don't grow. When you don't grow, you get bored. When you're bored, it gets unhappy. That's what
right.
I was talking about at the top of the show.
That's true. That's exactly what happens. Yeah. In fact, if you ever get to the point where it is stopped, where you have completed it, where you've done it all, you're ready to die.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
And that's a little bit of what I felt like today. And like I said, my metaphor was that the old job would shrivel up and die.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That was the word you used, too.
That was the word I used. So that's kind of what we came back to. Yeah, if we don't have fulfillment, satisfaction, and challenge in our life, it does feel like an emotional death.
It does. Yeah.
But you know, now we're at the end of our show. It's not the end of, like, we're not dying. We're just coming to the end of our show. And we're going to do it again tomorrow, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I hope we are. I'm counting on it. I'm expecting it. You know?
I just flipped the script. You're the one who normally says that to me.
This is true. Well, I'm not going to let you go that easily. Now, you only take 10 seconds to do this, but I'm going to have you do it anyway. For someone who does want to reach out and have that personal connection, because Wendy, she hasn't used the phrase in this particular episode, but she is the expert at quantum leaps. And if you want to know more about that, go back about a week, listen to a week 10 days ago. We did an entire show on quantum leaps, and it will blow your mind. So if somebody wants to get involved in some quantum leaping, making major shifts in their lives, how do they do that?
They can reach me through wendydillard.com. And my phone number and my email address are on there, and I'm really easy to reach. As a matter of fact, you'll be calling the same number I'm on right now.
Well, so don't do it right during the broadcast. Do it right afterward. Oh, Wendy, this has been great. I love doing it every day. I can't wait to do it tomorrow.
You got it. I'll be here.
And we hope you join us as well tomorrow here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye for now.